Welcome, everyone, and greetings in our Savior's name as we meet again, as we gather for our weekly online service. And I just wanted to begin this morning by encouraging you to keep checking in on each other. Now, this week, we continue in our lockdown and with even more restrictions upon us. And so please, if you can, if you're able, continue to reach out to people in our church family, whether it's through phone calls or texting or emailing. It's just great when we can check up on each other, encourage each other, let each other know that we're thinking and praying for one another. I find that just a phone call can go a long way to someone who might be feeling isolated or alone or discouraged. So let's keep that up as the body of Christ, as a church family. Psalm 33. Let me begin with Psalm 33, where it says, "Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love." What a great passage for us to begin with this morning. Remembering again that this whole earth is full of God's unfailing love, and we need his love every day. Now, one announcement I want to just bring to your attention to again this week is regarding the annual report and how you can get it. So as we begin another year, it is this time of the year where the annual report is made available to our church members and adherents only. And our annual meeting was scheduled for Thursday, January 28th at 7 p.m. Now, I'm sure this meeting will have to be rescheduled or done virtually due to these government restrictions that keep us from gathering. But we will let you know as we get closer to that date what will happen regarding the annual meeting. Now, this year, the annual report will be made available as a PDF file, again, for members and adherents. And if you would like a PDF or a hard copy of the annual report, you need to please email annualreport@calmaford.org by Sunday, January 17th. And please, in your email, let us know what you would prefer, a hard copy of the annual report or a PDF file. Now, if you are requesting a hard copy, it's going to be only one per family. And also, please make sure that your name is included somewhere in your email. If you do not have email and would like a hard copy of the annual report, please contact Donna Fair. And again, please note that this email, annualreport@calmaford.org, is for annual report inquiries only. And again, that address is lowercase, annualreport@calmaford.org. If you have any other requests for the church, please email info@calmaford.org. Thanks for that. Now, we've had some prayer chain items recently that I wanted to just bring you up to date on. First of all, we are thankful to know that Diane Reed is home from Kelmford Hospital, but please continue to pray for her health. Pray especially for the healing of her mind and body as she now adjusts back to life at home. Please keep Diane and Paul, her husband, in your prayers. Please continue also to pray for George Scott. He is in hospice care in Alliston. Pray for his comfort in these last days. And pray for his family as they spend time with him and love him. Continue to also pray for Luke Denhood. This is my, he'd be 12 days old, I believe, today. And Luke was born January 2nd to my brother Ben, who is pastor at Gilmore Baptist Church in Peterborough. And a few days after he was born, he had to have emergency surgery at SickKids Hospital due to a blockage that was in his stomach and lower intestine area. Now, the operation went well, and we praise God for that, but his recovery has been slow. Again, he's just still so young and so fragile. Now, a praise God item is, yes, he's in the best of care at SickKids. He's recovering from the surgery. And just yesterday, his little body was able to hold down some milk. And so that's a praise God item. So he is getting stronger each day. Keep praying for that. And then lastly, we are also praying for Gord Osborne. Gord begins a cancer treatment on Tuesday, January 19th, for cancer in his lungs. So let us uphold Gord and Shirley in our prayers, and that his body will respond well to the treatment, and that God will heal and strengthen him. So let's just take this moment to pray before we open God's Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come together like this. Lord, it's not how we would prefer to be together, but God, it is something that we can do to hear from your word and to have our updates as the church family. God, we thank you, Lord, for your grace in our lives and your mercies, which are new every morning. Lord, we want to lift up to those, again, who are not well, that are going through challenges with their health. And God, we just, again, we pray for baby Luke Denhood. We pray for Gord Osborne, Diane Reed, George Gott. Lord, we pray in the precious name of Jesus for their healing and strength. We pray, God, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit. Fill them, Lord, with your peace. We ask, God, that you would speak to our hearts through your Holy Spirit as we open your word. We love you and we praise you together in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, please turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter. We're continuing in our new series in this letter written by the Apostle Peter to believers. And we're going to carry on with the next section in chapter 1 today. So please turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 12 to 21. Again, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 to 21. Let us hear the word of the Lord. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, the book of 2 Peter is a letter of encouragement and counsel to believers. And at the start of chapter 1, Peter reminds the church of one of God's comforting promises. And I wanted to begin here this morning. And this promise is found in verse 3. And it is the promise that God's divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. What a wonderful promise for us to hold on to today, especially when we face hardship in the form of persecution, family crisis, health breakdown, or even tragic loss. And I want to encourage you right now and remind you, because we easily forget, that God is able. And just say that with me. God is able. His power has given you everything that you need for life and godliness. And you may not feel it, but don't let that stop you from believing it and waiting upon the Lord. We need God's promises every day, especially with all the changes and challenges that we're having to go through in our society as a result of this pandemic. And I know that it has brought a hardship to our personal lives and to our own church family. Again, meeting like this isn't what we prefer, but it is something that we can do. And I can't wait for the day where we can all be together again in worship and in celebration and fellowship. But until then, we need to keep trusting in God. God's power has given you everything that you need for life and godliness. And what that reminds us is that we are in good hands. So do not worry today, and do not be in fear. What is your need today? Whether your need is for peace, whether your need today is for healing or wisdom or hope or forgiveness, guess what? In this verse, God promises that His divine power will provide everything that you need for life. And He just wants us to trust in Him and keep turning to Him and walking by faith, not by sight. So whether you are stressed today or perhaps stuck in a sinful habit, whether today you are worried or have received recently life-shattering news from the doctor, guess what? This promise says God's divine power will provide you with whatever you need to get through. Rest in this promise. Find strength today in God's almighty power. Now, in this opening passage, Peter not only reminds us of God's promise to care for us, but then he also tells believers of their responsibility before God. Later in chapter 1, verse 5, Peter gives them this counsel: make every effort to add to your faith. Again, let me repeat that. Peter says, make every effort to add to your faith. And then in verse 10, he carries on with this language to have responsibility for your faith. He says, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. And so in these two verses, what do we hear Peter instructing us to do? Peter is encouraging us and instructing believers to give all diligence, to give all devotion to the truth of God's unbreakable promises regarding our salvation. You know, I love the hymn where it says, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. Let me remind you today, Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. The assurance of our salvation, it rests on the finished work of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, He bore our sins, enduring the wrath of God, and He cried out, "It is finished." And so we need to remember this, and this is how we make our calling and election sure. By remembering what God's word says about who we are and what Jesus has done for us. And by this, when Jesus said, it is finished, He meant that the full atonement for all our sins past, present, and future, have been made. His work of redemption now completed, our entire sin debt is paid in full. And that is a praise God item today. We need to be reminded of that every day. And just as salvation comes from believing in Christ alone, so does assurance. So as we trust in Christ's perfect sacrifice for our sins, the certainty of eternal life floods our hearts. No matter how great your sin, God's grace is greater still. Peter is encouraging us to build our faith now and the understanding of our salvation on the never-changing truth of God's word. But we still have to take that effort and in our devotion to God's word, keep building on God's word, the foundation of our faith. Now, in the next section of chapter 1, which I read moments ago, we will be looking today at Peter, who continues to battle to keep his listeners' minds focused on the truth, rather than be distracted by false teachers who are attempting to lead them astray. Now look with me again at verse 12 to 15. In verse 12 to 15, I want you to notice three words that stand out, that they all have something in common. Now let me read it to you and try and see if you can pick up those three words. Verse 12 again. Peter is saying, so I will always remind you of these things. And these things that he is referring to is that list of virtues that we are to add to our faith as we grow closer to God, as we spend time with him. And so Peter is saying, I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. And I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Now, if you have your Bible in front of you today, I think it would be a good idea, as I have done, to highlight or underline three words that start with R-E. So did you pick up on those words? Peter uses the words remind, refresh, and remember. And why does Peter use those three words in verse 12 to 15? Well, it's because we are a forgetful people. Have you ever been guilty of having a scatterbrain, being forgetful? What have you forgotten even today, let alone this past week? We are a forgetful people. And so that's why Peter uses these words. And unfortunately, we can forget about what God's word says about who we are, about why we are here and where we are going. We can also forget important truths about Jesus. And so Peter uses these words for this very reason. He wants them to remember. And so he will remind them so that these truths are refreshed upon their heart. He did not want them to forget the truth and their knowledge of Jesus, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, at the start of verse 13, he said that, you know, they had already been firmly established in the truth. So Peter knows that they have received the truth, they're firmly established in it, but that they were to continue to dig deeper into that truth and to hold it closer to their hearts. Because as Peter is aware, there was a lot of false teaching in the church. There are a lot of false words being spread, people trying to deceive and cause doubt. Now, Peter is urging them to remember the truth and keep God's word fresh in their hearts. And that's something that we need to do as well. The best way for us to do that, the best way that Peter says for them to do that is through repetition. You see, repetition is important for stability. We repeat and keep doing things over and over again so that we never forget. For believers, and in this message here, it's keep building your faith on God's word. And we do that by listening to God's word. We do that by hearing God's word, memorizing God's word, sharing God's word. Scripture in song is another way. So in doing that, we will be able to discern false teaching. And so keep repeating these actions. Keep repeating these actions that keep God's word on your mind. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. This is why we keep repeating those actions. And in Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Now, I want to draw your attention back to verse 13 to 14. Listen to again what Peter says. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. You know, earlier when I read that, I wonder if you kind of paused to think about what Peter was actually saying of himself personally as well. I wonder if you picked up on the fact that Peter was aware that his life was soon coming to an end. Now, it seems that Peter knew, whether by divine revelation or through what Jesus had once told him, that his time to die was at hand. And in verse 13, Peter used the word tent to refer to his body. You see, Peter considered his body no more than a tent. And what is a tent? A tent is a temporary place to live. Eventually, you take that tent down. You see, we are all living in tents. Life is short, and one day eternity will come for us all. And this is what Peter had on his mind. With his heavenly home approaching, Peter was concerned that these believers not be deceived by the rise of many false teachings. And knowing that his time on earth was growing short, he wanted to take advantage of every possible opportunity to remind his brothers and sisters in Christ of the things that they needed to know. Peter's focus here on the end of his life should not be overlooked. And this reminder should cause us today even to consider the secret of the life that is truly long, and that is eternal life in heaven. And for that reminder to set upon us, may it teach us, may it cause us even today to number our days. It's to make sure of our salvation through faith in Christ and to live each day for Jesus with eternity on our minds. In fact, to ensure that they had these things always before them, these promises of God, these teachings of Christ, Peter wanted to write them down even for them, so that after he was taken from earth to heaven, they would still have before them an opportunity to always remember God's word. Let me ask you this today. What would you want people to know before your time was up here on earth? You know, this is a good exercise to go through. What words, what truth would you want your loved ones never to forget? And whatever God brings to your heart, I would encourage you today to either write them down, share them somehow with someone today. Because as we see in Peter's life, this is what he was showing us and modeling for us. But how important it is for us to be able to pass on to those around us, our loved ones and our family, our friends, you know, those important truth that have changed our life that we want them always to remember. Peter had taught these believers many things many times before. And he says, I will always remind you of these things. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember them. And again, what things did he feel that they needed to be reminded of? Well, again, the many promises of God. Just the one that we saw earlier in chapter 1, that God's divine power will provide everything that you ever need. And so much more. Peter taught them what the prophets had prophesied about Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, all this he did not want them to forget. He had also taught them everything the Lord himself had said during his earthly ministry. Now Peter here reminds them that they needed to remain rooted in these truths, in all that Peter had passed on to them. They were words of life that would help them mature in godliness and in the Christian life. How great it is that here we have Peter, who was once a very hardened fisherman, but in many ways now he has become like his master Jesus in every way. He now is like a shepherd, a good shepherd like Jesus, who constantly taught the word of God and planted faith in people's hearts. And he felt it here his duty, his calling to uphold the truth of these precious promises even to his last breath, with a sense of responsibility that goes beyond even death. He was a good shepherd whose duty it was to keep the flock of God reminded of God's wonderful truth. Now the reason for Paul's commitment to remind his readers is found next in verse 16 to 18. So look with me there. For he begins, we did not follow, in verse 16, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. So in verse 16, Peter now makes sure that they know that they did not hear cleverly devised stories and then believe it and then pass it on. He backs this claim up by saying that they were eyewitnesses of what they have taught them, of what they have passed along. They do not have to doubt what Peter teaches them because Peter had heard and saw the truth from Jesus himself. They were with Jesus. And one of the most valuable pieces of evidence is to have an eyewitness. And we see it on the news all the time. Tell us what you saw. And based upon what they saw, we have proof of the event. And the event that Peter makes reference to in verse 17 is the transfiguration of Jesus. And Peter says that he was there and he saw when Jesus received glory and honor from God the Father. They heard the voice from heaven that Jesus is the beloved Son when they were on the mountain. And this event, the transfiguration of Jesus, is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 17. So Peter is, again, he is committing himself to reminding them of how important it is to stay in God's Word because they themselves had seen and heard Jesus. This was the proof that what they saw, that what they preached was true. Peter saw who Jesus was. Peter heard the voice of Jesus. He saw the majesty, glory, and honor placed upon Jesus, and this is his proof that he was not following some cleverly devised story or myth. They were, in fact, eyewitnesses. But what is this myth or this story that these false teachers are trying to set upon these Christians? Well, again, we find that in verse 16, where Peter says, "For we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, here Peter is not talking about the first coming of Jesus, but the second coming of Jesus. And the word translated coming here in verse 16 is parousia, which is always used in the New Testament to describe the second coming of Jesus or the coming of Jesus in judgment. Now, the question is not about doubting the first coming of Jesus, but doubting the second coming of Jesus. Peter is saying that they are not following some cleverly made up stories about Jesus coming for a second time. And the proof that he is coming back is the event that Peter makes mention to in verse 17. The transfiguration of Jesus is found in Matthew chapter 17. There they beheld the glory and honor of Jesus on the mountain, and they heard the voice from heaven that Jesus is the beloved Son of God. And in verse 17, Peter says that here Jesus received glory and honor on the mountain. And this is evidence that he will return in glory and honor again one day. One day we pray soon. The transfiguration is a view into the future coming of Jesus in with power and with glory. Now one day, Jesus is going to return. And the angels made that very same assertion in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Where the word of God says, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Now in verse 19 to 21, Peter goes on to declare the reliability of Scripture and its divine origin. Not only does Peter's eyewitness account testify to the reliability and truth of Scripture, but the testimony of God's Word itself proves its truth and reliability. For the fulfillment of the prophetic word confirmed in Jesus is a certain, reliable testimony of the truth of Scripture. All that the prophets spoke about Jesus came to pass. Every prophecy came true. This is why it's important that we continue to study prophecy. Understand what God's Word says about prophecy and the events that have yet to unfold before us. So this is one reason why we can trust in God's Word. Again, every prophecy about Jesus has come true. and will come true. There are many reasons why you can trust the Scripture, and that's one of them, the fulfillment of prophecy in Scripture. But another one of them is this, and it reflects God's single message through a variety of human writers. That is another reason why we can trust in Scripture. God's single message through a variety of human writers, a message that never changed. Think about this. The Bible consists of 66 books by 40 different authors covering about 1,600 years of history. It contains poetry, it contains prophecy, it contains history, and so much more. So many different styles of writing, and yet, with all this variety, this Bible has one unifying theme of God's love for humanity. It is the story of a God who created a people to be in fellowship with Him. It is a story of that people's betrayal of their God and God's efforts to pursue them back and account for their sin, no matter how high the price. It's a love story, true and true, from Genesis to Revelation. And Peter writes of Scripture in verse 20 to 21, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Let me just say here that verse 19 to 21 could be a sermon series in and of itself. But I love how important that these few verses are when it comes to understanding how where we get our Scriptures from and how reliable they are and why we can trust them. The last phrase in verse 21, there's two words that say carried along. And these two words, carried along, is used elsewhere in Scripture to convey the idea of a ship carried along by the ocean's force. All these 40 human writers of Scripture were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Yet their writings still reflect each of their own unique human personalities. Yet, even with their own unique personalities, the Bible writers were keenly aware that God was speaking through them. It wasn't their message. It wasn't their interpretation. It was God's. The Apostle Paul reminded a young preacher in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed. That's what our English word inspired means, to be God-breathed. So, you and I can trust God's word. God used ordinary human beings to capture His message of love to us all. So we have the prophetic word of God, that is the Scriptures, which give us confidence in the powerful coming of our Lord again. Another promise that we let us continue to rest in and hold on to closely. We have the Scriptures to which we must pay attention for all these words and prophecies yet to be fulfilled. And of God's word and of God's truth and prophecy, Peter goes on to say in verse 19, you will do well to pay attention to it. I love how he puts that. There's a gentleness there, but there's also a warning. There's also a very forceful encouragement. You will do well to pay attention to it. Listen to it with your heart. Study God's word daily as the source of your life. Jesus promised us in John 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. You know, there are people today that are starving, and they're starving spiritually. There are Christians, even in the church, starving because they do not pay enough attention to the Word of God. They pay attention to the way they look. They pay attention to the money in their pockets and in their bank accounts. They pay attention to sports and to the news. They pay attention to their hobbies that they have in their lives. We are all guilty of paying attention to everything but what is necessary for our spiritual growth. We cannot neglect the Word of God. All that other stuff will deplete you, but God's Word never will. And that is the truth. In verse 19, Peter says to pay attention to the Word like we would a light shining in a dark place. So stay close to the light of God's Word. Singer and songwriter Matt Chandler commented, if you're not confident in the authority of the Scriptures, you will be a slave to what sounds right. So trust God's Word to keep you on the right path. And then Peter gives us this image of hope. He says to keep paying attention until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. I love that reference to the morning star. You see, a new day, a new sunrise brings hope as life starts anew. And the true morning star is who? It is Jesus, according to Revelation 22, verse 16. Jesus himself rises in our hearts. He brings about change in our lives that no one else can change. And again, there is no other name by which man can be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. But we must stay in his word daily. So I'd encourage you, read God's word today. Spend time talking to him. Go over this passage again. Go through 2 Peter chapter 1 again with an open heart and ask God to reveal to you in these important spiritual truths that we are to understand and practice in our lives. Let's put them into practice, for that is how our faith will grow deeper and how our foundation will become more stronger. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for how well preserved your word is. God, we thank you today for how powerful your word is at changing our hearts and our minds and our lives. Lord, we have more translations available than ever before in the Bible. And here in the West, we have the freedom to read your word and study it every week. Yet, Lord, how often our Bibles become neglected, forgotten in the busyness of life. Lord, help us to have a new thirst for your word, to find ways to put it into our lives on a daily basis. Lord, help us to trust that this indeed is your word as we orient our lives on it and seek your voice through it. We pray in the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, the living word. And all God's people said, amen.